you own whatever land you land on. The earth is just a dead thing you can claim. But I know every rock and tree and creature has a life, has a spirit, has a name.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. Guess what? Ed Hahn is on the phone. He's the marketing manager of the National Eagle Center in Wabasha, and we are always thrilled to hear about the good things going on there. Ed, how have you been? Happy fall to you.
Yeah, happy fall to you. We're all doing great down here in Wabasha. It's a beautiful fall day today, and we're actually already seeing some really exciting bald eagle activities early in the fall, which is hopefully portending a very good eagle viewing season this winter. We enjoyed one last year, and we're hoping for an even better one this year. So,
well, I love that. Ed, for people that don't know about the National Eagle Center, can you tell our listeners about it, please?
Yeah, the National Eagle Center is kind of a half museum, half nature center, but we are the caretakers of four permanently injured bald eagles. And so we work with those eagles to be their caretakers and also to educate the public about eagles, eagles' role in the world, in nature, history, and cultures, and also to educate people about our natural resources, the river valley, and all the things that we enjoy as part of nature in this part of the country and the world. It's a great experience that speaks to people of all ages. It's engaging. And of course, for people who make the trip here to Wabasha, the highlight is always meeting the eagle ambassadors up close in what we describe as a nose-to-beak experience.
Ed, what makes the Wabasha area so special to eagles? Why do they seek it out?
Yeah, so it really is the river. The river is key to that. They primarily eat fish, and so obviously the Mississippi River has plenty of fish to offer, and during the winter time specifically, you get a lot of eagles from places further north, up in Canada or northern Minnesota and Wisconsin, that come down into the river valley, the upper Mississippi River Valley, because there's places like here in Wabasha where the water of the Mississippi stays open throughout the winter, and they still have access to fish. And so that's the primary reason that we see a huge influx of bald eagles during the winter time. But we really do have a very strong population of bald eagles year-round that nest here right along the Mississippi. And of course, that is more so true than it has been in probably anyone's memory. The fact that they were delisted from the Endangered Species Act in 2007, their population just continues to rebound. And so there's, you know, just hundreds of nesting bald eagles along the river, both in Minnesota and Wisconsin. So it's kind of the heart of bald eagle territory.
Do bald eagles leave their area? I mean, do they go 20 miles away and then come back to where they have their nest, or do they make a nest someplace else? Do they migrate like some birds? What is their behavior?
Yeah, so those are great questions. Yeah, so adult eagle, you know, they're going to go through a nesting season each year. They're going to take a mate, and it generally is in, you know, mid to late winter when they go through their courting rituals, and then they're either going to build a new nest or possibly, you know, take over an abandoned nest, or if it's a nest that they've used before, they're going to go back to that nest and they're going to make improvements, add more material to it, and that's why eagle nests get so large over the course of many years. The more that they're used, the more material that gets added to them. So they're going to use that nest to raise the young each year, and we're done with nesting season now in the upper Midwest. That really kind of wrapped up in August. And so right now, we're not in, you know, nesting season. So eagles really aren't living in the nest when they're not raising young, but they will return to that same nest next year. Again, when that nesting season starts in midwinter, they're going to go back to that territory. They're going to find a mate. Oftentimes, it's the same mate the previous year, and they're going to do it all over again. But, you know, during the off-season, eagles, especially adult eagles, they generally have kind of a home territory. You know, they may wander a little bit. You know, they can fly many miles in a day, but generally they're going to stay in kind of a home territory. And unlike juvenile eagles, which do not have a home territory, once they leave the nest as a young bird in that first year of life, then they're kind of nomads until they get that white head and tail, which is the outward sign that they are an adult and that they're ready to build their own nest. Yeah, generally they're going to stick around. But like you asked with the migration question, they do migrate, or some of them migrate, I should say, but it's not really like other birds that we're familiar with. It really has to do with the availability of food. And so where a songbird may be migrating from Minnesota or Wisconsin down to the Gulf Coast or Central America instinctually each year, bald eagles will migrate if at some point during the year, typically the winter, conditions cut them off from their food source, namely fish, then they will move south, but only as far as they need to find food. And for a lot of those birds, it's the upper Mississippi River Valley where, like I said, there's lots of spots where the water kept open due to strong currents throughout the winter months. And so that just becomes a natural congregation point for them during the winter.
And how old do eagles live to be, please? And what is the main reason they might die before then?
Yeah, so in the wild, 20 to 25 years is a pretty typical lifespan for a bald eagle. Generally, you know, if a bald eagle dies before that, there could be several reasons behind that. But, you know, they could be injured doing something out in the wild, you know, just during a course of their life. Unfortunately, we see lots of threats that have arisen due to humans, things like lead poisoning from lead ammunition after deer hunting season that gets left in gut piles after hunters field dress them. Again, that's not a malicious thing. That's just something that happens, and so it's kind of an unintended consequence of using lead ammunition, which is why we always encourage hunters to make that switch to lead-free ammunition. These days, we tend to see lots of vehicle collisions, which is very unfortunate. But again, you know, they're hunters and they're scavengers, and so a lot of times you will see bald eagles either on the highway or maybe right off the highway in a ditch, eating on some roadkill or something like that. And unfortunately, that close proximity to traffic and vehicles often leads to an unfortunate result of a vehicle collision. So those are some common ways that they may perish before kind of a naturally lived life or an end of life. But 20 to 25 years is a pretty typical lifespan. In the care of humans, like the eagle ambassadors here at the center are, they could potentially live into their 30s or possibly even their 40s.
And what did the ambassadors come to your center with? What were some of their injuries?
Yeah, so we basically have two types of injuries that our ambassadors have. Two of our ambassadors have permanent wing injuries, which means that they are unable to fly, which as a bird, you definitely need to be able to fly out in the wild to survive. And then our other two, actually both of our female eagles have wing injuries, and both of our male eagle ambassadors have eye injuries. And for raptors, and specifically eagles, who are so dependent on their vision, not having fully functioning eyes on both sides of your head is also an extreme impairment for an eagle out in the wild. So that's why our ambassadors live with us and work with us to educate the public. If you were to go to other facilities around the country, you'd probably find a whole different range of permanent injuries that various eagles and other raptors suffer. It could be things from, you know, partial wing amputations resulting from a vehicle collision or other injuries. So there's a whole range of things out there, but the ambassadors that we have here in Wabasha are wing injuries and eye injuries.
Ed, can you tell us about the vision of an eagle? It's just incredible, isn't it?
It is. We're probably all familiar with the term eagle eyes, and it's definitely deserved. They have vision that is, well, it's unique in that they have two focal points in each eye. Human eyes, we only have one focal point, and that's how we obviously see things and focus on things and go about our lives. Bald eagles and eagles in general have two focal points, and so they have one focal point where they could be looking straight forward just like you or I, and that vision is pretty much on par with human sight. But they also have a second focal point called a fovea in their eyes, and that second focal point is about 45 degrees off to the side, and that's their side vision, and that's their telescopic vision, which really is incredible. And with that telescopic vision, they could easily see a prey item like a squirrel or a rabbit or maybe even a fish up to 3 miles away.
That's just hard to comprehend.
For us, it's definitely hard to comprehend, but for eagles, that's pretty much, that's the everyday experience. That's how they go about, and it's amazing. It truly is. But they've got all the adaptations they need to survive in the wild. So it's incredible stuff.
What are some of the misnomers about eagles that you would like people to know?
Oh, yeah, we could probably talk all day on that, but I would say, you know, eagles and raptors in general, they're not very heavy birds, heavy animals. In order to fly, birds have to be lightweight. And so even though they are hunting animals and they're predators, you know, you really don't have to worry about them carrying away your pet. They can only carry very light loads and still fly. So, you know, I've seen just outside the center's windows here on the Mississippi, I've seen eagles dive down and catch a fish that's too heavy for them to fly back to shore. And in that case, you're only talking a couple of pounds. And so a lot of times you'll hear those kind of those myths, those urban legends that, oh, they carried away a dog or a cat. There's really not a whole lot of substance or evidence behind that. You know, they might be a partial animal. We've definitely seen, you know, pictures or videos of an animal that was hit by a vehicle. It might be a cat or something like that. And, you know, they might fly off with part of the animal. But it's pretty unlikely that they would fly off with a whole dog or a whole cat. It would have to be a very, very small animal to be able to do that. And when we're saying small, we're saying like 3 pounds or less.
What about the fact, though, that people might worry that an eagle can't gauge how big that animal is and tries to run off with it?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a couple things to say there. One, you know, we always tell people who have those concerns that, you know, eagles keep their distance from people generally. So if you are worried about your pets, if you're ever out in the woods or if you live in a kind of a natural area where there's lots of eagles and hawks around, I mean, your dogs and cats are out in the yard, you know, just stay with them. Don't leave them unattended. And I really like how you phrased that question because, like you said, you know, they may get a little more bold the more hungry they get. They're not like us where they're guaranteed a meal every single day. I mean, they're not even guaranteed a meal like the eagle ambassadors here at the center are. We feed our ambassadors every single day, but that's not a guarantee that a wild eagle would get. So, you know, they may go 3, 4, 5 days between meals, and the longer it goes and the more desperate they get for food, they're going to get a little bit bolder. And so it certainly is a risk that if a raptor, like an eagle with their sharp talons, to dive down and try to attack a pet, which again is pretty rare, but it has happened. The real risk there is not being carried off, it's being punctured by those razor sharp talons. If that were to happen to a pet, the bigger threat is that they might bleed out as a result of that attack. So if you do have an animal that gets attacked by an eagle, you know, and they do get punctured by those talons, then you want to make sure that they receive immediate medical attention from a vet because they're going to need to be sutured up, or the risk is that they will bleed out. And we do know of documented episodes of that happening where the dogs did survive, but that is the risk. It's not being carried off. It's just bleeding to death as a result of being attacked.
Ed, why are their nests so big? You mentioned that each year, if they come back to the same nest, they add to it. But it still seems like it's way too big for a mama and babies. Or is it full ever?
Well, they're fairly large birds. Again, they don't weigh a lot. They actually are pretty large, especially when they stretch out those wings. You know, a typical wingspan of an adult bald eagle is going to be between 6 and 7 feet in diameter. And so if you have a nest that has 2 or 3 young in it, by the time those young leave the nest, they're full grown. They're as large as their parents. So if you have 5 eagles in a nest, and, you know, before taking that first flight, those young, they're going to be doing a lot of flapping to strengthen their wing muscles. So you have 5 birds that are potentially spreading out their wings in a nest. You're going to run out of real estate real fast. Now, you know, that said, the first year a pair of eagles have a nest, it may only be 3 feet in diameter and not very deep. But like you said, they come back year after year, they're going to use that same nest, they're going to keep fixing it up, adding more material to it. And so that's how they get so big. You see a really big bald eagle nest in a tree, you can just know that that nest has been used many, many, many times. You know, it's probably been occupied for several years. They start small, but they get very big. And it really has to do with any given nesting season is going to produce a lot of scrap and waste in the nest. You know, you're going to end up with eggshells, you're going to end up with feathers that have been molted, you're going to end up with food scraps when they were feeding the young. All these different things build up. And what happens is you end up getting kind of a trash mound in the middle of the nest. Well, the next year you come back to use that nest, you've got to cover up that mound and basically create a new floor on the nest that is flat. Because if you try to lay eggs and incubate eggs on a mound, they're going to keep rolling away. So when they reuse that nest, they have to go do some home improvements, rebuild the floor, and that's going to add more height and more width to that nest.
Fascinating. Ed, we have a chance, don't we, to see some of this activity you're talking about up close and personal. You have some field trips you want to tell us about.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, one of the most exciting things that we do here at the center is that we actually have the opportunity for our guests to join our naturalists and go out into the heart of eagle territory. And we don't just do it any time of the year. We typically do it in the winter time when there's most eagles in the area. We have migratory golden eagles, which are here in this area, which we don't have during the summer months, and there's no leaves on the trees, so it's really easy to see what is out in both the air and perched in trees. And so we have our winter eagle viewing field trip. In general, you know, in years past, we've done about 6 trips per season. This year, we've upped that to twice as many. We're going to be posting a total of 12 bald and golden eagle field trips, and they are really, really great ways to experience nature, to see eagles, and to learn about both eagles and the environment that we have here in the upper Midwest. Again, it's kind of a traveling classroom experience. Our eagle experts are with you. You go to pre-scouted locations where we set up spotting scopes and hand out binoculars. You know, we have spotters with us on the bus. So if we see golden eagles in a tree or soaring up above, you know, we find a nice spot to pull the bus over. People can get out and you get that live interpretation. So one of the key differences is anyone in the wintertime could go out for a drive with the family, you know, in the backcountry and look for wildlife, look for eagles. And even if you find something, you may have some questions that you can't get readily answered. Well, on these field trips, you have the experts right there with you, so you can ask any question you have about what you're seeing or something that you've always wanted to know. And as you are observing wild eagles, those experts can answer your question. So it's a great way, again, to experience nature, to experience eagles, and to enjoy a beautiful winter afternoon.
And how can we go about getting involved in one of these trips?
So if you go to our website at nationaleaglecenter.org, we have one of the banners on our homepage. You have to click that banner and it takes you to the field trip homepage. We also have links under experiences on the page. You go to the homepage, we have a menu and one of them is experiences. You just go to Eagle Field Trip and it will take you to a page that has all the information. It has all the pricing, all the policies, has all the dates, so you can very easily select when you want to go, get registered for it, and join us. Again, we have our very first trip on October 30th this year, and those trips run through April. So there's going to be plenty of opportunities for people to join us and really have some awesome eagle experiences this winter season.
Oh, Ed, it sounds so fun. Thanks for telling us about it. Ed Hahn, he's the marketing manager of the National Eagle Center in Wabasha. Do visit them and take advantage of some of these up close and personal field trips. Thank you so much, Ed. I hope you have a great day. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA. In Hastings.
Just a dead thing you can claim.